is from the HRSA's office in New York, or the Office of Performance Review, and he's going to talk to us about newspaper coverage of minority health issues, and we're going to have questions for our panel after his presentation.
Good morning. When I found out this panel started at 8:30, I, as an evening person, thought, finally, I'll meet those crazy people I hear about called morning people. And I'm glad to report that you all don't look crazy. You seem sort of normal. Nobody has two heads or anything. But it doesn't mean I trust you guys yet. the moderator said, I'm Dr. Ghosh from HRSA, and I'm going to talk about public health in the media and national newspaper coverage of minority health disparities. And I have no financial relationships to disclose, unfortunately. Okay. In 1999, the Kaiser Family Foundation did a survey of 4,000 Americans asking them if they felt race had an impact on the quality of their health care. At that time, in 1999, 16% of whites and 35% of African Americans and 30% of Latinos felt that race played a negative role in receiving quality health care. 6 years later, in 2005, Harvard, the RWJ Foundation, and International Communications Research did a similar survey asking 1,000 Americans, did they feel race had an impact on the quality of their health care? So 6 years later, only 25% of whites, 44% of African Americans, 56% of Latinos felt that race and ethnicity played a role in the quality of their health care. So 6 years went by, but just a mild increase in the numbers who felt there was a role in quality of health care. Now, between those surveys, there have been hundreds of studies that have been published about the existence of minority health disparities. Probably the largest one with the most impact was the Institute of Medicine's Unequal Treatment, and that concluded in 2002, racial and ethnic minorities tend to receive a lower quality and intensity of health care than non-minorities, even when access-related factors such as patients' insurance status and income are controlled. These disparities remain unacceptable because they are associated with worst outcomes in many cases. So that was in 2002. Other studies that came out in between the two surveys included AHRQ, which is Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality's National Healthcare Disparities Report, came out in 2003, and subsequently every year after that they've had a disparities report. That first report was a little infamous because Tommy Thompson, the Secretary of Health at that point, had edited out all the mention of minority health disparities in the draft, and then people found out and came, if you remember that. So that got a little news play, and then they put him back in for the final report. HHS Healthy People 2010 in 2001 was published, and that had areas of health disparity focus. And then Physicians for Human Rights did the Right to Equal Treatment report, which also confirmed in 2003 everything all the other studies have said. So those are the big studies that came out in those 6 years. But of course, there were many, many other studies, smaller studies, individual disease-targeted studies, access-related studies, all throughout the literature that show that there were health disparities. But again, the public wasn't getting that information. So we're wondering, well, where does the public get their information about health? And the obvious sources are newspapers, magazines, television, radio, the internet, friends and family, medical providers. As we heard today, a community organization gets the information out. And we wanted to focus on one, and we focused on newspapers because 60% of Americans still read a newspaper online or in print regularly, 78% read one at least weekly, and 80% view newspaper coverage as favorable. And we found across age groups and racial groups, ethnicity groups, that newspaper still is the standard for healthcare reporting. We're seeing, you know, internet rising and things like that, but still it's the younger people that look at internet, television, certain groups do, but in general, newspapers still seems to be the main source of healthcare information. And why is it important that people know about minority health disparities? Well, in a time we're trying to have people advocate for their own health to increase quality, the big elephant in the room is minority health disparities. And if you don't even know it exists, you're sort of dancing around this elephant and never getting quality of care. So we want people to advocate for their own health, and the only way to really know that, to do that, is to know that this large elephant exists. So the objective of our study was to assess national newspaper coverage regarding racial and ethnic minority health disparities, again, using national newspaper coverage as a proxy for media coverage in general. So we looked at the LexisNexis database. For those who aren't unfamiliar with it, LexisNexis is a database of all newspaper articles written in 257 U.S. newspapers nationally. We looked at articles from 2000 to 2004, again, between those dates of 1999 and 2006 to surveys to find out what newspaper coverage there was. And we did it in five stages, and let me try to simplify it. So we first put in word combinations to get us all the articles that would deal with racial and ethnic health disparities by year. So we did racial or ethnic or minority and health and disparities, gap, divide, inequity, or inequality. So the way you do it is you say racial and health and disparities, racial and health and gap, racial and health and divide. Oops, let me go back. Then same thing, ethnic health disparity, ethnic health gap, ethnic health divide. So that gives us one group of newspaper articles. The second thing we did is then we did it by actual racial or ethnic group. So again, you have African American, Black, Hispanic, Latino, Asian American, Pacific Islander, Native American, American Indian, or Alaska Native. So again, African American health disparity, African-American health gap, African-American health divide, et cetera. So now you have another set of articles, again, for those years. And so you're going to have a lot of duplicates because, you know, you're still looking at the same data set, LexisNexis. So we go through all of them and eliminate all the duplicates. And then you read the full text of all the remaining articles, and you categorize them by the subject matter. What is the subject of the article? And we found some interesting things here. First of all, reporters plagiarize each other all the time. They will take chunks of an article here in Minnesota and stick it into New York's newspaper, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And what they also do is often the Associated Press will write an article, and your local newspaper will slap on their reporter's name on the same article. And so you'll see the same article written all around the country, word for word, but different authors are listed. That's just an aside. And then the final thing we did, to find out what percentage of articles about health were about health disparities, we looked for all the articles published with the term health by year, so we could compare. So our results. So articles about health disparities between 2000 and 2004, 0.09% overall. So that's 1,188 nationally out of 1.3 million articles about health were about health disparities. And when I say even about health disparities, I mean even if they touch on health disparities. It doesn't have to be completely about health disparities. If there's even a mention of that something exists called health disparities, that was counted. So if you look at the percentage of minority health disparities, MHD, articles that mention specific racial and ethnic groups, 60.4% mention African Americans, 7.6% mention Asian American Pacific Islander, 21.9% Latino Hispanic, and 8.2% Native American, American Indian, Alaska Native. And these don't add up to 100% because if an article mentioned two ethnicities, they'd be put in both categories. And also there were some articles that didn't mention any ethnicity at all, so that's not even in this. So it doesn't add up to 100%. If you actually look at the number of articles by mentioning specific race, 2000 through 2004, you see from 2000 to 2004, there's a 63% increase in those mentioning African Americans, an 80% increase in those mentioning Latinos, a 66% increase in those mentioning Native Americans, and 100% increase in those mentioning APIs. It's really sort of meaningless because these numbers are so small. Like you add one more and suddenly you're jumping 25%. But there is a sort of a trend toward increasing numbers. And I guess that's what's important about that. And if I were to take all the articles that did mention race and ethnicity, that pie that does equal 100%, 61% mention African Americans, 22 Latinos, 8.4 Native American, and 7.7 Asian American. And I'll go through this quickly. This is when we divided by subject area to find out what are these articles about. The large ones, if it was about an official speech given by a politician or a senior health administrator. About 15% of the articles were about those. Conferences, 11%. Like if there's an article about this conference, it would fit in that 11%. The NIH National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities, 3%. The infamous IOM report was 3%, and the equally infamous ARC report, 2%. Healthy People 2010, only 1% of articles even mentioned that. Of disease-based articles, cancer, 12%, cardiovascular disease, 11%, HIV/AIDS, 11%, diabetes, 6%, infant mortality, 8%, immunizations, 5%, organ transplant, 2%, oral health, 2%, mental health, 6%, and the need for minority physicians, 2%. So the conclusions were there are a large variety of minority health disparity related topics, as you saw in that last pie. Many, many different topics that relate to minority health disparities. The problem becomes the number of the articles is minuscule. So if you have a small number of articles and there's so many subjects, of course the message remains unfocused and fragmented, and it makes sense why nobody understands that minority health disparities even exist. And often we would see that, you know, and there will be an article about a specific disease, like minority health disparities in cardiovascular health. There's a difference in healthcare for blacks and whites in cardiovascular health, or a difference in healthcare in glaucoma care. But they wouldn't link that to the larger umbrella of minority health disparities, that this is really, you know, one seed in the field of minority health disparities. They'll have one little article about there's a difference in care, but people aren't putting the pieces of the puzzle together because no one's mentioning it's part of it. So what do we recommend should happen? We as a public health community need to define the media message. We're letting the media define it for us as we, you know, send out different articles. We're letting the media decide what they want to report on and how they want to report on it. And I think this needs to come from a large organization like APHA, from the top, that this is the media message that we're going to have. And we have to start with a consistent, coherent, clear, and simple message. And why is that important? Well, simple is important because newspapers and media writers like simple. They like to get out a simple message. And the IOM had another report that said 50% of adults, which is 90 million adults, have a very low very small understanding of health information. So if you give them a word like disparity, no one knows what it means. And I think Dr. Johnson talked about it in hers. No one knows what disparity means. It's a difficult word. So maybe that's not the right word that we need. And that flows right into maybe we need a catchphrase. Obviously, minority health disparity isn't, you know, exciting anybody. You know, minority groups get a lower quality of health care, or minority groups experience gaps in health care. We came up with MHD because it's kind of, you know, minority health care. Minority health disparities, MHD, like ED, you kind of get a bit of like a sexy acronym. I don't know. MHD, it gives it sort of a disease, that if you see it, it's a disease to our healthcare system. This is the harder part, to convince reporters to present MHD in broader terms and to mention in general health reporting. The reporters that I speak to, they like to have a story of something that is new and current and is happening now. It's a focuses on a person or a group of people. The problem with minority health disparities is that it's been around for a while. It's not new. It's not exciting. There's nothing new. The only thing really happening new is there are new studies coming out all the time. So even though you can say, well, the catch is the study's coming out, somehow we have to link it to how a person is affected. Unfortunately, with minority health disparities, it's populations affected. But if those of you who saw the PBS series, what was it called? Unnatural Causes, they started out with people's stories, and that was the hook of how media does it. So if we can use that as well, start with people's stories and expand it to the big problem, and certainly allowed reporters to talk about specific studies that come out, but again, to make sure that in those studies, they again have a line that says, this is part of a larger issue of minority health disparities. That, I think, is the first battle we have to win. And also, we have to show that MHD affects all minority groups. And despite how I did this study, where I divided up by minority group, I think it becomes a little problematic if you say, well, African Americans have this problem, and Asian Americans have this problem. We begin to compete amongst ourselves as minority groups, that how come they're getting so much reportage, and what we need to do is we say all minorities have issues with health disparities, and if we work together as a group rather than separately, I think we'll be more effective. And following with that is, which we should try not to focus education by specific minority group or favored media outlet, and that means certain minority groups like certain media outlets to get their news. Like African Americans tend to get their news from the television. Latinos tend to get their news from culturally specific newspapers. And if the problem you get is if you have, you know, the African American focused media saying, well, this is what's happening to African Americans, Latino media saying this is what's happening to Latinos, again, you divide up minority groups and you sort of say, well, this is my problem, and that's not my problem. And that will be a problem when it comes to trying, again, to get the big puzzle of minority health disparities affecting all minorities. And also important is to partner with senior health officials and politicians, because as we saw, what they say gets reported on. So if we keep them up to date that this is what we're doing with minority health disparities, this is our catchphrase, this is what we'd like you to talk about, those things get in the paper, those things get in the news, so if we can help form their message. But again, the first step is that simple, direct, consistent message that we have to come up with as a community, because as we know, minority health disparity as a term is not getting across. Thank you very much.
We've had three excellent presentations about getting health information out and using media and the importance of that. We'd like to entertain questions from the audience now or comments. Are there any questions for any of our panelists? We've all got the go ahead, yes.
Training is free.
Yeah, and we give them T-shirts
and
other
freshmen.
How often do you hold them, the training?
Twice a month. I did not get the number of people you said who were not. Who said that they could not use the
200?
There were 200 out of the.
We stopped at 200. We wanted to get a comparison group of 200. So once we got.
But they had not had the training, or they had had the training?
Had not.
They had not.
Right.
So it was your comparison group,
yes,
that said that they could not use it.
Yes. Well, not that they could not. They said that they would come another time or whatever, but they just never did.
I mean, they had excuses. Oh, so this was a group that had originally plan to take the training,
yeah,
and you use them as,
yeah,
you go. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I like, it's like a waiting list that,
right,
that,
okay,
never, that never could.
Okay.
Get it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have a question about that. You had mentioned that there's a dearth of information about disparities in general, let alone the causes. I mean, that's even lower. But do you have any characterization of the way causes were presented in the media article? I tend to think anecdotally that they focus much more on just equating disparity exclusively with poverty, not taking into account any other issues, or blame the victim kind of mentality, mm-hmm, where there's a lot of noncompliance. Did you have any characterization of the cause?
Sure. Actually, there was very little description of why.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that did have the description, even though the IOM study said, you know, people that were equally insured, equally educated, had disparities, they would go to blame, again, poverty, those uninsured, those with language issues. I think the message has been spun around, because if you say people with equal demographics are having these problems, the answer is there's racism involved.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to say that. And so they're looking for other issues. But the majority of them did not give a why.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about how one could sort of stem this policymakers in terms of why they should care? Because even if they accept that it's racism or they know it exists, so what? What is the so what that you think would encourage people to start taking action?
The only way politicians work is to know that a lot of their constituents care about this problem. So if you can say these large organizations, these large minority groups, all care with one voice, that this is an issue for them. Again, no politician or anyone's doing anything out of the goodness of his own heart. Everything really comes from saying that my constituents are all interested in this issue, especially large organizations like ABHA, which really has kept the minority health disparity machine running, even though the administration has sort of, I guess I can say that, the administration has sort of stopped it. So it tried to stop it when it came in, but it really kept the machine rolling because APHA represents a lot of people. So it's really numbers of people and telling them all these people care.
Yes.
Well, I'm just interested by how you just framed that, because it sounds like we need a political campaign of our own with a clear, consistent message, grassroots effort, people on the ground saying the same thing again and again and again, and starting by getting from the ground up. So it's interesting, the same things that are fighting against us, we have to use those tactics to move our case forward.
Exactly, and if you keep, again, that consistent message, everyone speaking with the same voice, no matter where a politician or a policymaker is turning, it's the same line, that will get their attention.
Other questions or comments?
Again, it should be you start with the person's story. But if you just leave it at the person's story, it's so easy for me not to identify with that person. So if you start with the person or many people in different walks of life experiencing the same issues, then expand it to the larger problem, hopefully that's what will hook me as a person to think, oh, this could affect me as well. You're seeing it, I think, in the news with lack of insurance. Lack of insurance has been a problem for a long time. But now it's beginning to hit the middle class, and you see in newspaper stories or TV stories about how this middle class family is suffering. They don't have insurance, but then they extend it out to the larger problem. It always starts with the person, and then it gets bigger.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
I was just wondering about the title of the program. It's interesting that it doesn't employ anything about ethnic populations. Talks about changing health behavior, which I think to APHA members would appear as a very familiar title, and then utilizing e-technology. Although subtitles do describe the content of this presentation, but I'm just wondering who decides about the main topic and title.
Well, this particular session...
I expect it to come to the session and see 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid that the main title may deter potential interested audiences.
Mm-hmm. This particular session, I'm sorry.
Gosh, made it kind of alarming to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this particular session was organized by the Black Caucus of Health Workers. So if folks were looking for scientific sessions that the caucus was offering, that might have tipped them off, but I agree with you. There's nothing in the title right now that would indicate what population we were talking about, so that would have been helpful to a lot of people, I'm sure. But that's how that was decided. It was just our group, and no, it wasn't. Unless they changed our title, I don't know that. Yes.
But if the subject is minority and the readership is seen as Caucasian and white, how do you frame it so that the editors would want to do that story? Because they would say, our readers don't care. So you still have to come up with a reason, I think, to pitch it to the newspapers, or do you not, to say that you must cover this. This is important to cover. How do you do that?
It's hard, but you're right. But even though minority, again, we're minorities. As a group, we're growing and growing, and you can't sort of not cover something because there is readership from some minority groups for every newspaper. So it's very difficult to say this won't affect white people. But of course, to get white people interested in it, you have to say this is affecting all our health as a society, and that our healthcare quality levels as a whole country are far below those internationally, because of this issue. So if, you know, we continue to lie that we say this is the best healthcare system in the world, this shows us that we as a healthcare system have a very poor one. And this is, again, that elephant in the room stomping over all our quality.
That's, I was just going to comment, that's how I find people are sort of couching, not couching, but they're framing disparities within the context of quality in general and talking about raising the quality of care for everyone in order to sort of get the minority votes higher. And the other sort of universal thing that I think comes into play a lot is cost, the cost of care being higher when you have inequities in people who are sicker in the population, and that's particularly true, I think, among public health insurance programs like Medicaid and Medicare, where you talk about the cost of that care being higher than it should be because of inequities that exist.
Okay, well, I want to thank our panel once again for their great presentation. And before you disperse, I would just like to make a couple of announcements. The Black Caucus does have a few other presentations that we'll be making in this room following this one. We'll be doing perspectives on HIV/AIDS and African-American youth. And then a little later today, Turning Point, HIV/AIDS and Cultural Influences. And tomorrow morning, we will going to have a special screening of a film called The Storm Inside. It'll be in this room as well. It's about Katrina survivors. And if you stop by our booth in the 2100 aisle, there's a trailer about that film. But it's a pre-screening for APHA members to be able to see The Storm Inside. So once again, thank you for coming, and thank you to our panel. I got it.
Oh,
Just meet next to Starbucks around.